to another podcast, you guys. Raw Truth, Life Conversations, man. We back with another banger for you guys. We realized that spirituality was a hot topic for you guys, so we're bringing it back part two. We got a special guest for you guys today, man. I really hope you enjoy. It's your boy, Troy. Pastor P, he coming in a few moments. So you guys, he'll be in here in a second to entertain you guys in a moment. But it's your boy, Troy.
Your boy, Stevie J.
Ray Larry.
Man, special guest Ray Larry in the building, man. Because the people don't know who you are, but they know who we are, can you tell them just a little bit about yourself, Mr. Ray?
Pretty much grew up in, you know, Dixiana from Gaston, 36. Three kids, came from, you know, pretty small town, pretty much. Mom, dad, mama cook. A lot of siblings, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I'm just pretty laid back, man. I just enjoy life and just love, man.
That's it. That's what's up.
We love to hear it, man. The reason why this podcast had to bring on Ray, man, we noticed that it's on his social media, man. He liked to bring up some pretty hot takes. He liked to stir the pot a little bit. So and we love it. So look, we just wanted to bring it you guys in a more formal setting, but also we noticed that Ray was a man of knowledge, spirit, you know, a little spiritual. You know, he kind of delve in a lot of atmosphere. So we just wanted to bring him to you guys. So with that being said, Ray, what's your take on spirituality?
Kind of how, you know, saying just growing up. Of course, I grew up with Christian belief. You know, been going to church since I've been little. Definitely in it real tough. You know, I've been on the choir and, you know, man, I've been at church about 4 days a week, man.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, listen, man. Young adult choir, you know, children choir, I did it all. You know, played a couple instruments as well.
All right.
So, you know, I grew up, you know, my pastor is Bishop Bellamy.
Okay.
Bishop Eddie Bellamy, okay, you know, Community Hall Outreach for Christ.
All right.
So, just under his teachings, you know, one day I was in Bible study and he was like, hey, man, whenever you get a chance, he was like, I need you to really do this for me. Just get that Bible and just read. He was like, you know, the Bible said, what I'll get and get a better understanding.
Get an understanding.
So, you know, what I took out of that was like, all right, you know, in order for you to really get a better connection, that Bible also helps open doors that you really don't fully understand. Mm-hmm. And then also with that, when you're reading, that's another way for God to really talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I hear people like, you know, I want to get a closer connection, it's like, well, you know, just ask for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So when people like, I just don't want to read, it's like, it's not really reading. That's another opportunity to sit down for him to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
for him to really teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want that connection. That's probably what I would say one of the fastest ways outside of prayer,
mm-hmm.
to really get that connection, because then he will reveal stuff that you probably really wouldn't understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I love it, bro. I love it. I can't even lie, Ray. Since I was a young man, yo, I would ask God for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, because when I started reading, like you said, I didn't even first know. I started in Proverbs, actually. And I didn't even know the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Correct.
Because I kept reading it. I was like, God, what is this? And I'm talking when I was young, maybe like 12, 13, somewhere in there, real early. Because I grew up in the church as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going 4 days a week. But no, we was going. We wouldn't even travel.
There.
We was in there. I mean, God is everything. All I know. My grandmother, pastor. My grandfather was a deacon. You know, my mother and father are pastors. So this is ingrained in there. But I actually started following Christ myself. I mean, literally taking it serious and personal.
Right.
Well, like when I was in 10th grade, when I met Mr. John Johnson. I don't know if you remember him. John Johnson.
I definitely
hey,
know
Pastor P is in the building, fellas. Pastor P is in the building. You good? Pastor P in the building. So you guys, we'll welcome him in a second. What's up, my boy? But, yeah, Mr. John Johnson from Airport High School.
Got you.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep. But he told me he read the whole Bible front to back. And I said, man, I can't call myself a Christian if I don't do that. This is not for anybody else, not a judgment or point, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
When he said it to me, it was a conviction in my own heart that this man can't say he a Christian and me,
mm-hmm.
me saying I'm a Christian, and I don't read it. So you see what I'm saying? So he just set a standard in me, and as I started reading it, You know what I'm saying? It's just certain things that stood out more and more, and I just kept talking to God, asking him questions like, what's this? What is this? And the more I would ask him, might not be that year, maybe a year later. And sometimes some things came like within a month or two or immediately, some answers. Mm-hmm. But some things took time for me to keep reading and get revelation, man. But so, yeah, I mesh well with what you're saying, man. And I love it, man. I really do.
Yeah, same here. Grew up in the church.
What's up?
Choir. Mimed a little bit. My dad's a minister, man. My grandma and all, man, they kept us in church.
Yeah.
So, by me saying that and stuff like that, so it's like we understand where you're coming from and what spirituality is and what spirituality means. So, like, that's one of our goals out here. We're trying to make sure people understand what's really out here and what's going on. Open your eyes to see that this is not a game. Now, I mean, we sit here, we just playing around all the time, but man, we only got one air. We only got one life.
For sure.
I mean, you really got to understand why you here, what's your purpose, what's your focus. You got to really understand that. And when you can understand that, you got to talk to the man.
Yeah, talk to him.
You got to talk to him, read your book. You got to do, you have to make that time. Like my pops always told me, you make time for what you want to make time for. That's right.
Yeah.
So you got to make that time and read it. It don't matter if it's just in the morning for 10 minutes. Read something. Mm-hmm. You know, read and just meditate on that word. Meditate. A lot of people realize, you know, some Christians don't believe that we need to meditate. Mm-hmm. But it says in the Bible, meditate on that word.
You gotta
meditate
at night.
So meditate on it. Whatever you read that day, just meditate on it. That's right. All you actually do. Just get that relationship. You can get relationship with this person, that person, that person. Make relationship. Make time for me. That's all you ask.
That's it.
That's all you ask. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, we glad you're here.
For sure.
Glad you're here, Ray, man. It's going to be a real, real good session. What you got?
Good. I tell you what, Pastor P wasn't in here, man. We was talking about, and we're going to introduce you guys to this conversation too, out there in the podcast land. But right before this recording, man, we were just sitting there talking about some of the quote-unquote lost books of the Bible, a.k.a. the Apocrypha. But Ray was telling us about a certain book that he got his hands on that he let me look. What you was talking about, Ray?
The Et Sefer is one of the books I picked up. I was just talking to this pastor. Matter of fact, at this point in time, I was lifting. I was driving Lyft just to make some extra money. Mm-hmm. So I was picking the guy up. He was over. Some apartments. I think Stonebridge, right behind Pier.
Mm-hmm.
Or Pier off of. Yeah, in St. Andrews? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was picking him up, he was like, hey, man, when you get a chance, he was like, hey, check this Bible out. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, after talking to him, I was just hanging around my brother, B-Larry. So B-Larry came up to me and was like, hey, I was like, man, when did you pick up a Quran? So he was like, man, I been had the Quran. So I was like, I see you got two versions, man. Let me get that other copy. Mm-hmm. So what I started doing is, I had the Bible. See, I was working at Frito-Lay at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm just riding in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So I put on the audio. I got the Bible. I'm listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading words out of the Quran. So I'm reading that. And then I got the Et Sefer, and I'm just reading that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get to understand. I'm like, you know, how you having the names back in the day, David? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That we translating it now. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to see what this book about. Why he's pushing me? This guy's pushing me to want to read this Bible, and he was like, "You can get the Americanized version, but do you know the Hebrew version?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh yeah, you know." I was like, "Yeah, let me sit and read that." Mm-hmm. So then I started reading the books that were in it, like you know, saying the Book of Jubilee, mm-hmm. Asher, mm-hmm. you know, saying my favorite Enoch. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I really want to get an understanding, like you know, why the devil is after us the way that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start reading Enoch and stuff start unveiling, then is, I guess in church, one thing I asked my pastor, which made him tell me to read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
is I asked him, I'm like, if Adam and Eve were the first, then, you know, when Cain killed Abel, where did this other city come from? He said, I cast him out to the other city. Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, like I said, I just started reading. And then, you know, it basically, the book basically broke down and said, you know, Adam and Eve was the first divine. They just knew no good, or they didn't know any evil.
And which book are you referring to now?
This is Enoch.
Okay, Enoch said, yeah, they were the divine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and as I'm reading through all these, you know, these different books, and I'm just gaining understanding, it's just, I'm starting to learn, like, okay, you know, at one point, just talking to, I ended up having to pick the man up again. Mm-hmm. And he was mm-hmm. like, hey, man, what'd you gain out of that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I said, I learned, you know, saying why the devil really, why he's after us the way he is because he's jealous because he had, at one point in time, the angels had to bow down to Adam and Eve mm-hmm. because they were divine. And he questioned God and said, if I'm the first, you know, and I'm your most powerful angel, why should I have to bow down to them? Mm-hmm. So it's, a lot of this stuff is out of jealousy and out of hatred. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's just my take.
That's about it. Good, no, that's about it. From Enoch, from what, even what our Bible says, even the Bible says in the King James, I guess the more recognized Bible that I would say, because I give credit to the Apocrypha, or like he would say, the Sepher, because I actually looked at it because I wanted to see for myself what it was, and it's literally the same thing as the King James and the Apocrypha. The Book of Jubilees, the Book of Jasher, mm-hmm. First Maccabees, Second Maccabees, Belly of the Dragon. All this is the Apocrypha. He just got like the, I think you said the Greek, I mean, which is it was?
The Roman
version. We just got the King KJV and the Apocrypha. That's all it is. Same exact stuff, just, you know, different language. You guys, but yeah, I've read some of the stuff myself. And all that getting, get understanding. That's in our Bible. That's the Proverbs. That's the recognized Bible. Yeah. You know, it don't tell you to stop with the 66 books that's in the Bible. It never tells you that. And we can have a whole other conversation about that. And I know that's going to strike some people out there, make their head pull out, hair pull out. But listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there because I stand on this. I really do. The scriptures that's in the Bible, they even allude to other books. As a matter of fact, the King James Bible will tell you all these things not written about in the book of Jasher. All these things not written about in the book of the Chronicle of the Kings of Judah. All these things not written. So many books that are referenced in the Bible that are not in the Bible. So that somebody that's an avid reader like us that really want knowledge, is not trying to be closed-minded, you can't read something like that in the Bible that we call holy and say, okay, well, if the holy book is mentioned in these other books, shouldn't I go pursue these other books to figure out what's going on? If you're going to be open-minded and be reasonable, if you're going to listen to this podcast and listen to us, just come in with an open mind and open heart. Don't come in here trying to be super religious because you're not going to like us. You're just not. You're really not. I'm telling you as it is. We love God with all our heart. You see what I'm saying? But that goes along with knowledge. Get knowledge, understanding, get wisdom. All those things that the Holy Bible tells you to go for.
Right.
The Bible says we perish because we lack knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, and not just knowledge in the form of the Bible.
Right.
No, other books have knowledge. You know, you need financial knowledge. Some of that knowledge is in the Bible, but you have to go read books on finance. You want to be an architect? Some of these things are mentioned in the Bible, like buildings and like how God wanted certain things to be eloquent and you know, certain fabrics and all these things. But guess what? There are other books that talks about that, and you don't shun those things. So I think you ought to have an open mind if you're going to listen to us and really grow in your spiritual walk with God. You better open your heart and your mind to what truth really is and stop being so religious. But nevertheless, man, I'm loving where this conversation going, man.
Yeah.
What'd you guys need?
So on that one, Ray, makes another question. Mm-hmm. Since we want to talk about spirituality and on that topic, talk about before we started, like you were talking about the Trinity. Explain that to him.
So, you know, this is a pretty nice hot topic. I was telling Troy and, of course, yourself about when I speak to my brothers, you know, saying each one of us have a different belief. You know, some of us are on the same page. A lot of them don't believe in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, a lot of them believe God is yourself. I got one brother that don't believe in God at all. He don't think God exists. And then I got one that's just like I was telling y'all, you know, and he go with the wind blow, you know. you know, wherever he hear it, he's just going to take it. But he gonna try to make something out of it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was just explaining to them, you know, I had one young lady was like, you know, you just need to pray. And I'm like, I understand that, you know, I'm not knocking you for your prayer, but how are you praying?
Because that's a good question.
The way that you pray, is really going to determine how, you know, how you get answered. You know, if you pray wrong, you can't really look for your prayers to be answered when you're not even praying correctly. Mm. And I was, you know, just breaking it down to it's like steps. It's almost like a job. You know, and like I was telling y'all earlier, you know, you might have your floor manager, you might have the your supervisor, and then you might have the plant manager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got the Father, the Son, and you got the Holy Ghost. Well, you can't just skip past the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, I was listening to my pastor talk, he was like, you know, the Holy Ghost has feelings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just as well as you talk to God, just as well as you pray to Jesus, you also need to also pray and talk to the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, God sent him down here, to overlook, to mm-hmm. foreshadow. So when you kind of overlooking that, it's like, well, the one that's really overseeing you and that's with you on your daily journey is the Holy Ghost. That's who
right.
you really need to be praying to and just talking to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And listen, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Jesus even first said, I have to go away. And when I'm the reason why I'm going away is so that the Holy Spirit can come with you. He'll be a confidant, he'll be a counselor, all the advocate, everything that Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was going to take his place because he had to go away to be with the Father.
Right.
And he didn't want you to be comfortless. So the whole point of that is that the Holy Ghost is going to be in your place, in Jesus' place, not to replace him like, you know, you never think about Jesus again. No, because even the Bible says, the Holy Bible that you guys love so much, it tells you that the Holy Spirit will never speak of himself. He will only always say the things that Jesus will say. He will point you to things that Jesus said and remind you of everything that Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit is important. And you get later on into the New Testament, you have certain writers that will tell you, we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will give us with groanings and moanings and stuff. He will tell us what to say. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't know what exactly to pray, because everybody, like you're saying, might be praying wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things you have to understand before you first get into prayer, that you don't just use prayer as a weapon against somebody else, or, you know, mm-hmm. you don't use prayer mm-hmm. for selfish gain. No. You have to understand the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because these all three work in one.
Right.
Once you understand it, you'll know how to pray and what you should be praying for. You see what I'm saying? So if any of you don't know what to pray, like I said, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me, because he's there to help you. He's there with you constantly. You can't go anywhere without him. There's nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. He's there with you, period. You can be doing something wrong, and he'll be that voice telling you, hey, stop that. Hey, leave. Hey, you know, it's always the Holy Ghost that's that other conscience, quote unquote. He's not conscious. I'm just trying to help somebody out there understand,
the terms of
what's going on inside, and they may not understand. So that conscious voice in your back of your head that's telling you to leave or get out of it or stop or don't go or leave her alone or him alone, that's the Holy Ghost, because your own conscience is the reason why you in that, you went there in the first place. You see what I'm saying? So it's the other voice of reason that's telling you, look, hey, this ain't it. So I'm just trying to tell you guys, talk to that one. Hey, listen, what should I be doing? What should I pray for? What do I have need of? And I'm going to let y'all boys on, and the podcast, where I'm going to let y'all in on one of my secrets, man, because I view God, and I mean, by God, I'm saying Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, but the Father, the source of all, I view him in such a way that he knows all. He's infinite. He's omniscient. I view him in such a way that my mind is so limited that I'm only going to ask him things. This is something he gave me. Something he gave me in prayer and just reading. But I view him in such a way that he knows all, and I know my mind is limited. So now instead of me just going to him, asking him for things and stuff that's in my mind, I say, listen, you know exactly what I need, and you know things that you know I need that I don't even first know I need. Mm-hmm. So God, help me to pray those things.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That shifts everything on his head, because you might come to him, well, God, give me a new job, give me a promotion, whatever, but he'll be flooding your mind. Once you open yourself up to that, like, I don't know what to pray for, and just yield yourself, next thing you know, you're getting ideas about business or ideas about whatever, because you thought you needed this, but he like, no, this is what I have for you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even things about, like, in Enoch, about the angels and other realms and other beings and all these things. See, your mind, because school has indoctrinated you and the environment has indoctrinated you with a certain level of understanding, but you forget God is the creator of all things.
Right.
The whole universe bows to him. You see what I'm saying? So after you start to yield to him, he will literally start to flood your mind with visions and ideas and images of other places, and you know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't sounds far-fetched, quote unquote. Mm. But you forget, we're spiritual beings, and we're talking about spirituality here. Mm. So if God is a spirit and he created these other places, he can also invite you to these other places so you can see what these other places entail. Heaven, hell, not just these things, other places that exist in this universe as well.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, I ain't trying to weird you guys out. I'm just telling you, in terms of how Ray brought up prayer, it's so much, you can be so limited in asking such small things in prayer. And God can, he's so big, and you asking him only about elementary things, and God is so much bigger than what you asking him for, that you can really be open yourself to so much more truth. So much more truth than what you can ever fathom if you just submit and say, God, Father, what do you want to show me? And I'm going to tell you the imagery. Now, I'm not trying to take long, but I'm going to show you the imagery he showed me. Between me and my son kept asking me, Daddy, what's 1 + 1? These small things, but he's a child. So that, but this is his frame of education. This is what he's learning. This is what he's been introduced to. So he's trying to test me based on his level of knowledge. Daddy, what's 1 + 1? Son, that's 2. What's 2? And to me, it's like, it's not an irritant. Yeah, it's so simple. Like, son, it's so many things I can be teaching you now. So many things I can be showing you. This is what, you know what I'm saying? Because within my capacity compared to his, I can be flooding your mind with so much life around you, things that you just oblivious of, dangers and splendid things, you know what I'm saying, that's all around him. But because you've been taught this, not by us, by, you know, just YouTube teachers, they're teaching you this small reference of things. So the only thing you know to ask me is based on what you're being taught. So the moment I had that thought, God immediately peeled my mind back. I'm like, you get it, son? This is what you're doing to me. You see, because we have such a small frame of understanding, such a small frame of concepts and things that we choose to read or choose to reject. But God has said, man, I have so much I can show you, so many things around you that you walking past that could have benefited you by now. But because you only been taught a tree is just a tree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into all these things, or, you know, but I'm just trying to show you, if you pray and pray correctly, like Ray said, man, look, your whole world will turn upside down. But go ahead.
Okay, Ray, I got another question. Explain to the people how to pray correctly. Because some people out here, they don't know how to pray correctly, and they might be trying to get a lesson through now, and they don't know how to do it. And they've been praying, and it's like, they like, man, it's not working. So explain to them.
Well, my outtake on it is just what my bishop taught me. It was like, when you pray, you never want to just pray just to ask. You see what I'm saying? Like, majority of the time when we pray for what we need and what we want. In the other part of the time, we only pray when we had a hard time or when something bad has happened. And then the other half is when we know something is coming up, so you want to pray for this blessing, and you want to pray for it in advance. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, when you pray, your prayer is also like talking. Yes. You're talking to him. You don't have to be very. I tell people your prayer don't have to be real elegant. It don't have to be this real fancy prayer. Mm-hmm. Your prayer is just like how we sitting down having this conversation now. Mm-hmm. That should be your prayer. Your prayer don't have to be, oh, Holy Father, blah blah blah. You can just sit down and just talk to him and just tell him what you need, tell him what you want. You know, so just have a conversation with him. That can be just a prayer, like y'all was saying about meditation. Yeah. That's another form of prayer. Yeah. Just sitting down, just taking your time. You don't have to really get deep into your prayer, as far as with all the stuff that you might hear in church. Just talk to him. Just close your eyes. Just find a, you know, you always hear the prayer room. Just find that place of solitude. Because what did Jesus do? What did he do? He went to the mountain, right?
Yes, sir.
That's sometimes you have to isolate yourself. You have to get to a place where you make this your holy sanctuary, where nobody else going. There's these no evil thoughts. These no evil, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's nothing that you fear. There's nothing holding you back. When you step into this room, this is my holy room. When you walk in here, this is my place of peace. Mm-hmm. So just like how we're having this conversation, this is how you want to talk to him. Just talk to him. He hears you.
I love it. And I hope y'all grasping this and understand. Just talk to him. So I got another question for you, Ray. So far as I was saying earlier, before we really started, you know, the recording, it said God is moved by faith, not suffering. How do you feel about that?
I take that, I really believe that, because, you know, he also said the only thing you have to do is have the faith of what?
A mustard seed.
That's all you really need. You know how big a mustard seed is?
Super small.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Just a grain of sand. You just need to have faith. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. So I tell people, faith is also another version of courage. Mm-hmm. You know, when you build your faith, you build that courage, you build in that belief. All that stem into one. So the minute you have faith in him, then now you believe in him. Well, when you believe in him, then you know he can sit amongst you because now you believing in him. So it's another form. I also say it's like another way of crying out when you believe in him, you have that faith. When you say I have faith in you, you're talking to him. And if you use that faith also in another form of with your prayer, that faith, all that can be, I say, is collabed together. Because faith is more stronger than just somebody saying, yeah, I have faith in them. Like, no, do you really know what faith is? Do you understand, like, how powerful faith is? Because faith is just not just a belief system. Faith is basically telling him, like, I'm giving, like you said, I'm submitting. When I have faith in you, I'm giving you everything. I'm pouring out to you. So I'm trusting my whole life. I'm trusting the way that you're going to guide me. I'm trusting the, what you're going to teach me. I'm trusting that you're going to, you know saying, take care of my family. I'm trusting that you're going to be with me every step of the way. So when you have that faith and you open that door, then from that point on, he can show you. Because I tell everybody, when I listen to an older gentleman talk, he said, you know what the doors are? I'm like, no. He was like, the doors are your eyes. Right. He was like, you got, when you listen to your senses, as far as your taste, your touch, your hearing, when you listen to certain music, what door did you just open up?
Your door.
When you read and you're looking at certain things, that's why they say, be careful what you watch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everything that you're taking in, you're a sponge. Yes. That's all we are, we're sponges. Yes. So you're absorbing all this negative energy. You're taking, and I'm also a firm believer in energy. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Because it's like, if you get a group, when you go to church, the reason for church is you have a mass group of prayer. You have a mass group of people of belief. When you have that massive group, that just makes the strength of God even stronger.
Yeah, the fellowship.
Yeah. So that opens the door for him to really come down, him and the angels to really sit amongst you.
There we go. That's it.
You see what I'm saying? So whenever you in that field or you have that faith and you have all this going on, I tell people it's okay to fellowship.
Yeah.
People. They run away from when you, like how we were saying, when you want to start talking about religion, you start talking about God, people run away from that. Oh, it's a debate. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. How do you debate talking about God? When did God become a debate?
For sure.
So it's just it's these little things of that once you learn and once you understand, like, who you are, who God is, how much faith you can put in him. So If you just can start by just a little bit, just give him a little bit, and you will understand that little bit will turn to a little bit more and a little bit more, and it will keep growing, it will keep growing. Then the stuff that you hear, the stuff that you listen to, just your walk of life, all that stuff changes.
For sure.
That's right. That's right. So bring on that. So the next question would be like, okay,
hold on, Stevie. Hold on. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because, you know, the question, I guess, rather, you know, does God move by faith or suffering, right?
Right.
Definitely moved by faith. God never wanted us to suffer. That wasn't his plan. He didn't. You got to just look at, before you listen to a man, just look at what he did. Just literally look at what he did. God created, he started with nothing, quote unquote, nothing. Started with nothing and created everything for us. And a man was the last thing he created, and then put man here on the earth with everything else already in abundance. Food, fish, whatever, animals, everything here. And he just told us that he created man and put him in the middle of the best garden that ever was on earth and said, just take care of the garden. But just look at God's mindset in that. He didn't make man first and then let him sit here and just have nothing to do and then create everything in front of him. No, everything was already made already. And the last thing he created was man. So why would God want him to suffer? Just look at God's mindset by what he's doing. You don't have to pay attention to what people say most of the time. Look at what they're doing. You can see their mindset. You can understand their heart already. So God don't want man to suffer. No, God put the very first man here, divine man, he put Adam and Eve here first. The first thing he did for them was make the earth abundant and plenteous first and then put them in the middle of that. That's not suffering. Mm. That's a land of abundance. All you gotta do now is commune with me in the cool of the day. Come give me a report every day. What's going on? Hey, Adam, what's going on with you, buddy? You see what I'm saying? This is the Bible. This is the Bible they believe in.
And what you call that? You just said what you just
communion.
Said.
Communion. Fellowship.
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 And when you say, all you say, come to me with a report.
Yeah.
So pretty
Talk
much,
to
we,
me.
He, like, instead of, that's what I got just then from that, so he just dropped in my head. It's pretty much, I'm just telling you that. I'm saying pray. Just pray to me. Come to me at that in the cooler day.
In the cooler day.
Pray to me.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all God
that's
did.
It. Now, now, see how simple that was? Now,
yeah.
But it's like we so small-minded or so locked into religion that we can't even just sit there and just, you know what, God? I'm having a rough day.
Sure.
Right.
I need you to just help me. Give me the strength to just get through this last hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you might be, man, getting home. The house might be at disarray. You're looking like, Lord, Jesus, mm-hmm. walk in there. And keeping the peace, not to get upset, because when I walk in there, whatever energy I put out there towards my kids, my wife, it's going to show reflect inside the house.
Right.
So if I go in there, calm, peace, everything should calm down. Mm-hmm. Go in there and talk to my children. Go in there and talk to my wife. And just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying before, I'm not even going to, you know, just jump into this, but everything's leading up to the next question I'm about to ask you.
Come on, Pastor P.
Come on. So, I mean, you said, you know, God moved by faith and stuff. I believe God can't move in your suffering. Look at David. When he was, you said, bones was hurting and all that, he was like, it was good. He was afflicted. He learned the statue. So,
yeah.
When he was suffering, he still was praying, talking to God.
For sure, for sure.
Where he wanted you. So, God, he still can move within your suffering. You know what I'm
Most
saying?
Definitely. Like said, Most
it
definitely.
Always, it all comes back to faith, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't just stop just because you're suffering. Talking to God, praying to God, crying out, whether it's prayer, whether it's gospel music, whether it's meditation, whether it's something. That's
mm-hmm.
What
he said, if y'all couldn't hear him out there,
yeah.
What he said, if you guys couldn't hear him out there, that was Pastor P in the background. He was saying that God, in versus faith versus suffering, God can move in your suffering. He was talking about David, how David said his bones was hurting. And in that, in his suffering, David continued to seek the Lord. So God can deal with you in your suffering as well. And I'm agree with him on that as well,
100%.
Most definitely. But I would say this. It was David's faith was already strong in God. So that's why when he started suffering, he knew exactly who to go to when the suffering came.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, my whole premise on that was, Pastor B, my whole premise on that is that the fact that God set you up for, he introduces himself in like with benevolence first. Like he introduces himself in a way where everything is good. Like I'm not saying you won't learn things through struggle, or, you know what I'm saying? Because God has to put you through. Not you. You have to sometimes put yourself through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, you know, a life,
yeah.
Life be lifing, like they say sometimes.
Life.
Your life be lifing. It ain't necessarily God, but you go to him and God will give you wisdom, understanding, yeah. Knowledge on how to navigate through those situations.
Right.
Because the Bible says God is a very present help in the time of trouble. So sometimes you might think God is absent when you're going through, because most people look at this like, well, if God is good and the God is who, you know, all this.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that, you know what I'm saying, I'm going through this? No, because they think God is far from them. You know what I'm saying? Because these things wouldn't be happening if God was close.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mary and Martha said in the Bible, you know what I'm saying? If you were here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
But he said, no. It's for my glory can be revealed. So he had a whole plan in this thing the whole time. So my whole point is this. Like, so you can learn God is suffering. Most definitely, Pastor Pete. And I'm with you on that. And I think we have to suffer through some things to see if you... Let me tell you like this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Suffering comes and tribulation comes to test your faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's the hour of proving.
Right.
It's time for temptation. That's the trial. See, the trying of your faith. But first thing,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So faith has to be implemented first. God has, like he told Peter, I don't want to get riled up here, but I knew this was going to come to this here.
Uh-huh.
But like God told Peter, I'm praying. This is Jesus saying this to Peter. I'm praying that your faith will not fail.
Right.
Because he said, Peter, the enemy is coming to sift you like wheat. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's going to come a time of you trying, and I'm not going to deliver you from your trying.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've taught you enough, Peter. I know I've built in you enough faith. I know I've educated you enough that when the hour of trying comes, your faith won't fail you. So now the only thing I'm going to do is not hold your hand. I'm going to pray that what I taught you is going to be able to stand in this.
Yeah.
You see? So suffering has to come because I want to know as a father, is my son listening to me? Is my son only going to believe in me when all things are good? Mm-hmm. Or is my son going to believe now that the wind blowing and the boat starting to shake? Is he going to come back to me and remember what I said? Or he going to jump ship and say, Bumpy, God ain't real now because everything ain't going my way?
That's what a lot of people do, though. They
take one point made period.
They take it and just be like, oh, because you let this happen to me. It's like I was talking to this young lady at work the other day. It was more so she was, you know, telling her story of why she's the way she is now.
Mm.
And it's like, well, I ain't gonna say too much, but it's like to the point, like man, I didn't know you went through that. But it's not the fact that she believe in God though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She believe in God strong. Like she believe in God. It's just because that certain incident happened to her, this is her lifestyle she has. And I'm looking like, okay, well, only thing I could do, it came to my mind, just pray. That's all I could do is like, just pray.
Yeah,
man. Just pray. Because that whole story was like, man.
Wow, heavy.
Man, like, boy, because you, if you just look, like, man, but you, everybody got their different walks of life and stuff like that. But what gets me with people is, especially with, like, atheists and stuff like that, is, like, they quick to say there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all science and all this and all. If we came from monkeys, I'm trying to figure out, man, how in the world we come from a monkey. Never, I really understand. How for one, if that's so, if we did come, this is how I look at it.
Why dogs ain't talking? That's all.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Evolution.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, certain aspects, like, well, nah, you can't. I don't get it. But, you know, it just, people got to understand that God has a plan.
He does.
He has a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
A master plan. Like, you know, sometimes you do have to suffer till you can get to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
God is always there.
Yeah,
he's in it through your trying times, your bad times, your good times. He's gonna be there, but it's up to you to, you know, seek him.
See.
Sitting there the whole time looking at you. I'm right here.
Right in front of you.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Yeah,
even to the simplest thing is what I want to eat today.
Mm.
Some people don't realize you can pray for that. Like, I'm not gonna eat today. Maybe
yeah.
You don't pray about eating, but even though it's so simple and small, like why would I have to pray about what I want when I know in my mind,
I can make my own decision.
You know, it's like I want a burger, but then you might pray something else come up. Oh man, nah, you know what I'm eating tonight? I'm gonna save money.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go home and cook.
Yep.
You can make a burger at the house. He ain't said you couldn't have the burger, but it's another way you can get the burger.
For sure. Exactly. For sure.
And just to harp on what you were saying, you know, it's just one thing I always, you know, kind of expounded on is like prayer is a reminder too. Prayer is a reminder.
Right.
You know.
Mm.
So when you do suffer or you're going through these trial times or these suffering times, it's just a reminder of who my father is, where my help comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds you, you know, to come talk to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So I might let you suffer because you might be so tied up into work, or you might be tied up into the family, you might be tied up into the job that you forget you're doing so good. You've been doing good for the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayers are kind of minimize just a little bit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You stop seeking for me as much.
Yeah.
So let me throw this over here right quick just to remind you, like, I'm still here.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm still here.
Yeah, that's it.
That's real good.
That's true.
That was good. That for real.
That's it. Always gonna remind me.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Don't joke, save faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I live, save faith.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, think about it, man. You're not crazy. Think about it. Like, logically. I ain't gonna say logically. You see, when you're in the water, you're in the deep water, he ain't gonna let you drown. Yeah, well, if this thing long. You know, if you think about it, you say you in the deep waters. Think about it. You in the ocean. Mm. He ain't gonna let you drown. You in the ocean. He ain't gonna let you drown. You in the fire. He ain't gonna let you be consumed or burned up. He tell you he gonna be right there for you. You like, man, I'm in the fire, man. What you talking about?
Yeah.
I burned
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But to God, no, you ain't burning up. Right. You gonna come out as gold. You know what I'm saying? Same thing he told Job. He know the way that I take. And when I come out, I'm gonna come forth as gold.
As gold.
Mm-hmm. So he letting you know. Yeah, I get a little tight now, but you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, you got to have, it's all building the faith too, man.
Yes, it is.
Because at first, you're going to hate God at first.
You feel away.
You're going to feel away. They say if you don't hate him, you're going to resent him.
You're going to question.
You might have plenty of questions. If somebody said they don't, they lying. I don't care what nobody said. They lying.
It's some bullcrap. I done been in some spots. Like, man, this guy, what's up?
What you doing? Where you at?
I thought it was like this.
But when you go back, it ain't God. It's you. You got to examine yourself.
Bean.
There you go. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Let every man examine himself.
It's never God. It's you, pretty much. Like you say, you never,
you never know where he want to take you at.
For sure. Yeah.
You going through this. God. You going through this for a reason. Mm-hmm. On, I'm one of my favorite scriptures, man, by John. So you don't understand now, but later on, you will. You know what I'm saying?
You
so
will.
at that present time, like, man, what is going on, man? My life was good before all this happened.
Yeah.
But your life was good, but it's about to be magnificent later on down the line. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, we was talking about that time we was by the ocean. Yeah, you're a captain, but I'm about to raise you to be a king. But you can't see it right. You can't see it
that's
right
a word,
now.
Isn't it?
You know what I'm saying? Think captain about, to a you, king. You can't see it right now, man. You can't. You like, you living your everyday life. You wondering what's going on. You like, boom. Now getting that word, like you said, meditate on that word. Get it. It's so many versions nowadays. Mm-hmm. If you can't understand it, it tests you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to try.
Yeah. You ain't put in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're gonna keep going through the same old cycle, You like, man, why I'm going through these cycles? Like you said, talk to God.
Glory.
Talk to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Ain't no science. You know what I'm saying? it ain't no science. And back, let me touch on that little topic you said right there about monkeys. Always, people don't believe in God because it's science.
Evolution.
You know what I'm saying? Evolution or science is scientific. I mean, you got to look at it like this. If you're black, I'm just going to say black. Look at our history. Look at our culture. Let's go all the way back to Africa, Egypt. Man, they out here. They was healing themselves. They doing all these chants. They if you really get into it, they was raising people from the dead too. Mm-hmm, now, you know what I'm saying? It might not have been of God or however you want to say it. But just to let you know, it's always been a spiritual thing. It's never been a scientific thing. Mm-hmm, like how do you explain it? How did that person heal that? You know what I'm saying? How did they do that? So, like you said, spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you tapped on them one day. The angel trying to come down and help her Jacob out, but he couldn't because the Prince of Persia right there in the middle.
Yeah.
So how do you explain that? You know what I'm saying? But so when you have dreams, you have visions.
Mm-hmm.
How are you dreaming these things? And you can see it right before it happened. You said, man, that should let you know it gotta be a God.
To talk about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You have these vivid dreams, these visions. Man, you can be like, oh, that's deja vu. Now that wasn't deja vu. That you saw it happening, but you just can't. You don't understand. Right
you don't
now.
Understand. You don't snap. Yeah. You ain't at that spiritual connection. You ain't built yourself there.
Yeah, man. That's all I want.
And it's kind of like it's almost like a boxing ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might go through a couple fights, start off amateur, right?
Right.
Mm. Take a couple blows. Mm. You know, you might get knocked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Might get knocked down. You might lose this round.
Mm-hmm.
You might lose this match. Mm-hmm. But if you never stepped in that ring, that's where that faith is.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the ring remind me of faith.
Mm, I got it.
You had to step in. Mm-hmm. So you had to believe in yourself and step in that ring at first.
Beat up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to take a couple blows. That's the suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had to take the hit. You had to take the pain. You had to know how that pain feel.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to go out and reach the next one, to educate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To tell them about his glory. Mm-hmm. So if I never took the hits, if I never took the pain, if I never suffered,
mm-hmm.
how can I relate to you?
You can't. Yeah.
I can't tell you something that I never been through.
My God.
Yeah. I can't.
Came down here, yeah. Just so
I was thinking that, boy. Yeah. Come on, Stevie.
I'm telling you, I'm ain't hitting that. This. You see, hey, it's hitting.
Yeah, for sure.
He ain't here right now because that's what we talking about. And I'm telling you, man, it's not to cut you off.
No,
like you're saying, it's like you have to, how can I tell you something? How can I talk to you about, let's say, we just talking in general. Let's just say you play football. I play baseball.
Right.
When you're
there now. There you go.
How can I tell you? How can I come and tell you how to catch the ball, like far as like a run a route? Mm-hmm. But I play baseball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never did it. I mean, but when I come to you or start playing, and we can relate to certain stuff. Now I can relate to you. Now we can talk about it.
Yeah.
We can bounce it. We can bounce it off each other. And you can understand this is why this happened. This is why that happened. And just that's why he came down. So he can't understand. Oh, this is why you do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you love
mm-hmm.
like this. This is why this is what happened. Mm-hmm. Right here. Oh, this is how it is to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can relate. That's people understand he's man and God.
Mm-hmm.
People just keep him as, oh, he's God. They can't really understand that or fathom man. That he's not
he
he's
a man.
Not a man too. He's a man.
He's a man
too.
Yeah. He can relate. He understands.
Yeah,
he understands.
He understands.
For sure. That's exactly what I was thinking about over here. You just took it out of my mouth. No lie. When you was talking, bro, you put it out there just like the boxing ring. All like it was. That was a beautiful illustration, my boy. Like for real. I learned. Let me tell you something. I've been teaching since I was 18 years old. Ran from it. Like I'm talking about. She's a runner. She's a track star.
Yeah.
No. I ran, duck, dive. I'm talking about fear of people. I'm talking about stage fright. Every fear you can think of when it comes down to dealing with people, I had it. I was terrified. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, you know, I was running from my call or whatever. Didn't even know. But anyway,
But ever since my first time teaching the 18 till now, I can look back and honestly say that version of me is died. And it's because of, like you said, it's the principle of getting into the boxing ring. It's the principle of that. Like even in business, in relationships, you can never appreciate it, and you shouldn't even have an opinion on it. I'm saying like that. You shouldn't even have an opinion on anything if you're looking on it from the outside of the ring. Get into the ring, get punched. My brother told me, Pastor P, he told me this when I was like maybe in middle school or high school, but it stuck with me. I can't remember the exact time frame. He said, "Bruh, either you're gonna roll with the punches or get punched on."
Yeah,
that's what he. That don't make no sense. Rolling with the punches mean when somebody swing at you, in order for you to minimize the impact, you have to roll in the direction the punch is being thrown. Right. Like, keep moving in the same direction. Yeah. He said it to me when I was young, and I'm like, "Count, you're right." He said it to me when I was young, and I'm like, "Man, listen, because you know life can start throwing some haymakers, but you can be on the outside. But until you get into that fight, you will never know how hard that punch was.
Yeah,
you will never know how to take a lick.
Yeah,
you will never know how to recover from the lick. Yeah. All these things you learn in the fight. That man, Ray, that was a good one, man. Yeah. So that's what faith. Yeah. That's what Christian, what God. Because like you will learn how to pray better by praying them wrong prayers. Like, okay, yeah. Well, I ain't get an answer yet? So now I know God.
2 years
you question
by.
God, and you can be like, "Man, this some bull crap." You can be like, "Okay. If God does answer prayer and he's not answering it, it has to be me.
Examine yourself.
So let me now examine me and start straightening me up." These things you learn in the fight.
Yeah.
These things you learn in the ring. My business ain't go taking off like I want to. Podcasting, what am I doing wrong? I need to go back now and look at, okay, let me look at the footage of the fight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So man, that was a great analogy, my boy.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. That, man. The fight, bro. Get in the ring. Yeah. Don't have an opinion about anything. Don't talk about nobody's relationship. Don't talk about our Christianity.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it from out there, well, God ain't this, talking about science and all. Man, look, some atheists, look at, I love you. I'm going to say that. Let me start there. I love you guys. But let me tell you something. I learned stuff when I was in high school, geography, U.S. history, all these classes, social studies, all these things they put us in when they kept showing us these books and talking about evolution, how they kept putting... when I played video games and all that, they would call us niggas and they call us monkeys. You know, you playing the game, it might have been serious, but on the game, they call, "Man, you monkeys, you gorilla black man." But you look at the history book that you guys showing us, the Neanderthals and the things that came, they were white. Now, I'm not racist at all. I'm just telling you what was in the books. You guys was in the same book, had the same books we read through. When you look in the books, they had no depiction of black people in there unless they were slaves. But you look at a monkey evolving into a man or a Neanderthal, that was a white-skinned man. And I know for a fact that men didn't come from monkeys. I'm just telling you how they try to indoctrinate us with certain things that are completely a falsity. Complete falsity. So we don't come from monkeys, and you can't say black people come from monkeys because the picture you got in your book is a white man coming from the monkeys. So if anything coming from monkeys, it ain't us, it's y'all. But nevertheless, I know it's not y'all because God created Adam and Eve in full comprehension, full consciousness. He was an adult male by every expression of the word adult male. So I'm not, you know what I'm saying, I ain't mean to take that long tangent, but I'm just trying to tell it as it is. We don't evolve, you know what I'm saying? Because if man evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? Why are not monkeys today still evolving?
Right,
because the conditions still are the same.
Right.
Monkeys should still be evolving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should look up if right in front of our eyes at the zoo.
It should be happening.
Like, oh, he turned into a man.
Get him
out of there.
Pastor P said this a minute ago. We're talking about science versus quote unquote science versus spirituality. If you ask me, somebody who I'm not mature by all, but it's somebody way better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but to the level of maturity I have now. Science explains spirituality.
They go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand. They are not opposed to each other. Yeah. People just think because I have an explanation for this, it disclaims spirituality. No, absolutely not. Before anybody understood a leaf,
You gotta know the science of it.
The knowledge, the information in that leaf was already there. We just didn't understand how it grew. Mm-hmm. We didn't understand how it could turn from a seed to this big tree. God knew that. Mm-hmm. It just took man to observe what was already there, and that became science.
Can I say this?
Come on.
Now, in your version of science, like you just said, now, if you know anybody that has a real green thumb, what do? They talk to their plants.
They talk to the plants. And what is that?
And they say the plants grow, and you talk life into your plants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that wasn't science.
What is that?
What did you do science-wise to just spend a little time and talk to them? Mm-hmm. That was spirituality at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You talk to your plant. You talk life into it.
Yes, sir.
You just spoke life into this plant.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can give it water. I can feed it. I can give it everything I need. But it's just that one ingredient that I didn't give it.
My words.
No, that's it. I didn't talk to it.
sir.
So they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
What y'all go to?
The Community Hall of Outreach for Christ.
Where is that? Bill, was it?
Eddie Bellamy, 6500 Fairfield Road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, my whole thing with the whole atheist situation, you know, and I respect everybody's views.
For sure.
Because, right. You know, me growing up, something we had to quote every day at church before we even started church. You know, my pastor said we believe in love, unity, and non-judgmentalism. Mm-hmm. He said we love not, you know, we judge no one, and we all are unity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't, like I was telling y'all when we first started, before we got on the air, you know, in the Bible said God is what?
Love.
And this is what me and B. Larry talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God never said, I am of love, I'm beside love, mm-hmm. I might be around love. Mm-hmm. I am love. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you can't have God without having
love.
That's I feel like, the biggest part. Like, once you learn how to love,
yeah,
and you learn how to love genuinely, unconditionally, then that love brings life.
Mm-hmm.
Love brings understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So when I love you, I know how to take care of you.
Right.
When I love you, I know how to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I love you, then I can speak life into you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you see that life that I'm speaking into you, then you want to follow. Because you're going to be like, man, how did you make that 100,000?
Mm-hmm.
I made it because everybody that I touched and everybody I blessed, guess what God just said?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I'm saying? You bless my people. You follow my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to bless you right back. He's going to give you what you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
But but you have to understand that you have to, your first priority is understanding love.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to love, then you kind of missing the whole point.
The main point.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this whole thing is just going back to this very one question that I got. Pretty much foundation. Right order, the things we should do according to the word. Everything we've been talking about the whole time is pretty much leading back to foundation.
Foundation.
Yeah.
Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man, like you said, you gotta love. You have to love. Have to love.
Let me ask you this, Ray, and anybody else a part of this podcast, because we talked about faith, we talked about prayer, and we definitely talked about God and spirituality. Can I ask you, like, maybe a personal time where you might have prayed or you might have exercised faith? And you saw it work through, and you knew it was God.
Man, I'm gonna give you a couple. I'm heart back on that, but
okay.
I got this for a definite. So one day, I'm coming from church, right?
Mm-hmm.
My first lady said something that pissed me off. I remember, man, it just got under my skin, man. I was like, so at this point in time, Tyrone Speaks was playing the piano for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was me, Ty, my little brother Rashad, and Brandon. We all drive. I had a little Toyota Corolla. So I'm just saying all type of like, man, she don't understand. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How she up there, blah, 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 blah. I'm getting on the interstate, right? I'm talking trash. The car just going onto the on-ramp. Got to the edge, like literally about to go off onto the next, and the car just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to a stop. So I got home, tell my mom. Mom said, well, you know, when you speak on God's anointing, he's going to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to let you know, you don't talk ill will on his children.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, I feel like what I was saying earlier, you know, when you arguing or you having a debate about the word, you're stepping out of the realm of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not a debate, this is a fellowship.
Yes.
So I can hear you without getting mad.
Yeah, come on now.
I can hear you without getting out of my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that had to really show me, like,
she
was trying to teach me. I didn't want to hear.
Mm.
And she was trying to direct me, and I didn't want to know it.
Mm.
And then when I'm talking, I'm talking about one of God's children.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know what? I'm going to show you exactly what can happen. So what they had to do was reel me back in and let me understand. Man, this man is real.
Mm-hmm. That's good, bro. Yeah.
And one of my biggest, I would say, things of life is when I was younger, I was growing up, I had two tumors in my knee coming up.
Wow.
Yeah. And my pastor came up, he was like, we're going to pray for it. So he was like, we're gonna put this in holy water, and we're gonna wrap around your knees. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to keep doing this every night. Mm-hmm. So I did this for, I'll say, about a month and a half. Just prayed about it. I was scared, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. To the core, you know? I don't want to go out young, man. You know, I'm in football. I got this going on. And I'm an older brother at the same time. So I understood my significance of being home. Mm-hmm. I understood, you know, I have a single mom. So at this time, I really need to be here. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I'm young. I want to live a nice, prosperous life as well.
Yeah.
So I really buckled down and just praying. And that's when it goes back to that point of suffering. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I might have suffered physically, but just mentally and emotionally, that took a toll. You see what I'm saying? Because at this time, I don't know which direction I'm going. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this is going to work. Mm-hmm. But then that's where that faith came in. Mm-hmm. I had to really believe. And my mom said, you know, she was crying. She was like, we can soak and we can mourn about it, and we can sit here and we can keep crying, or you can suck it up and you can really believe that this is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get through this. Man, I went back to the doctor, I'd say about 2 months. Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't even see it anymore. It's gone. It's gone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's faith right there. That's faith right there, man.
So, but I had, that's that teaching when I said, like, he'll put you in a situation, even the atheist, even put them in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. What you think the first thing they're going to say?
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Jesus, Lord God.
So we call on them subconsciously, yes. And you don't even know that you're calling on them.
Yes.
You get put in the wrong position, or you hurt yourself. God, doggone it.
Yep.
God is always in your mouth.
Yes.
You're always speaking on it, whether you want to or not. Right. But that's why I say, like, how can he not be real, mm-hmm. when everything about your whole living, your whole being, I want to be a good person. I want to live right. Where you think it's coming from? Something had to teach you this.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to teach humans this.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't wake up yesterday and say, you know, we're gonna know how to write a book, how to write a Bible.
Yeah.
You can't go from being monkeys that don't know how to write to saying, now I got a whole word I can read.
For sure.
I have knowledge. Well, somebody had to give you this knowledge.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ray, I just want to empower you real quick, man. Just whether we do it on there, I'm gonna just do it now. Because somebody out there might have been healed from whatever it is, too, you know, whatever it may be. I just want to empower you with this, though, because I'm a firm believer in this. This is what God told me and taught me. He can never heal you from anything or deliver you out of anything, like mentally, whatever it may be, and that grace not still be in you. The same grace that healed you is the same grace you carry, and it's proof that you carry it because the thing didn't come back. You see? So that means that grace is still abundant in your body. So that means if anybody you come across, man, that you, I don't know if you you do this now or not, but I'm just trying to, I'm telling you what you have, whether you knowingly have it or unknowingly have it. When you come across somebody else that has a tumor in their body or whatever it may be, I'm telling you have the power to speak to it. I'm telling you this because God already gave, he gives graces to people. You see, so it may come through struggle, it may come just because God gave it to you at birth or whatever it may be, but the moment it comes into you, it never leaves. The Bible said gifts and callings are without repentance. You can see, there's so many things to get into. I don't want to take this conversation to right now,
right.
But when certain graces come on you, he don't take it back.
It
never leaves. The devil himself is still called the anointed cherub. He himself is called that. And we understand he's not God, he's our enemy. But you understand he's on the wrong side of things.
Yeah.
You see, but he's still called the anointed cherub. So that anointing doesn't leave you. So I'm just trying to tell you, if brother, sister, mama, anybody you know close to you, that you find out, hey, look, I'm dealing with some cancer tumor in my body, you have the ability to go over there and lay hands on them and believe. I'm telling you where the confidence is coming from. Believe that you have it and that you're transferring. Okay? I'm telling you that from my heart. From what I know on the inside, from God himself,
When you do it, pray with confidence. This thing has to move. It has to move. Because that's even going back to prayer, but I don't want to get into that because I want to get fired up about it. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we pray because we sitting here begging God to do things. And that's not, God didn't give us the authority to pray like that. He told us to speak to the mountain and it should move. Yeah. You see? So you go to God, you pray, but God, I love you. I thank you for being my father. Well, however you pray, I'm not telling you how to pray. But in general, you're just doing it, communicating with him. And after you get done communicating with him, you know, you now go talk to your problem. My God said, I'm this, I'm healed. You see, whatever it may be. So you talk to God, so you, like you said, get that remembrance from him, or the Holy Spirit in meditation, whatever, will start reminding you of the things God said about you. You are a child of God. You above and not beneath the lintel. All whatever the Holy Spirit will remind you of. But now after you get done being empowered by the communication between you and the Father, now you go talk to your problems. Too many times we bring our problems to God and try to talk to God about our problem. God, I'm dealing with this, and get this bill being need to be paid. Man, all that, that's not how you... I'm telling you what I know, what I am, I know. That's not how you communicate with God. Jesus even first will tell you that. When Jesus had a problem, what did Jesus do with the two fish and five loaves? He didn't complain and say, God, you know, like disciples, you know how you saw how they did it. You see the way Jesus handled it. But we are looking at in Christendom today, and we're still beg and plead with God about insufficiencies. Well, God, I don't have enough to feed these 5,000 people. I only got two fish and five loaves. Well, God, what you want me to do? Because you're supposed to be God. You can't let me.
Yeah.
But no, God took the two fish and said, give it to me. Give me the small that you have. He blessed what he had. He spoke to what he had. You will not run out until I get done feeding them. You see the difference in authority, because God trying to make us sons of God. You don't see God begging and pleading anywhere. And man, look, I don't want to get fired up about it. I'm just trying to empower you that when you leave here, know you carry healing grace. You got to know it. You got to know it with everything. Like, you know your name, Ray Larry. Know you carry that. And then you talk to him about it. Don't just believe me. Don't believe any man. But you take that to the Father and say, God, is this, what this boy told me true? What is this boy know what he talking about? And see what he tell you for himself. Now, we can get back to this, you know, back to what we doing. But I had to tell you, but that go for everybody in podcast land, too, that's been healed from anything. That's the whole point of us testifying to the next man or giving testimony, is because by the time they hear, your faith had worked. Sometimes it sparks enough faith in them,
right,
that they know, okay, wait, if God did it for that boy over there, I know he can do it for me.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing that ignites faith. Yeah. You see?
You just might need that light.
You might need it, man.
That fire. Yeah.
Anyway, we can get back to what we get into. If you ain't got one, Stevie, I got another for you.
That was tough.
Nah, hey, man, I'm trying to tell you the truth as it is, man. I don't come to play with people, man. You know, when it comes to God, that's who I am. It's you know, I love God. But anyway, man, so now we're going to pick it back on something. Have you had any encounters or anything? If you haven't, it's fine. I can share some of mine. Like, I mean, as far as dreams, visions, anything. Have you ever, you know, angels? Because we talked about Enoch, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
And, you know. Well, I got a hot topic too. Like, while you playing, we got another hour.
Now that you said that, bro, let me tell you this, man. This is probably my most craziest. When you say God will bring things to the table for you to understand, like, I am God,
mm-hmm,
and he will reveal, all depends on if you want to see the revelation or not.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to go all the way back to me being 5 years old.
Oh, come on now.
We're going to go back to five.
That's it.
5 years old, living in Rolling Meadows, right?
Okay, Rolling.
Yeah. scared to go to bed, man. Every day, I would go to bed, turn off the light. There's a shadow. There's a figure sitting in the corner every night. My mom, man, Ray, you tripping. You just go to bed. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see the figure. It's a whole human being.
Mm-hmm.
So one night, I told my mom, I'm not going back no more.
Mm.
I'm not going to. I'm like,
just for context, somebody, keep flowing. Mm-hmm. Was there a coat? Are there anything else there? And if the light was on?
That's what I'm going to get to.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I go to my mom. I'm not going back. So my mom come in. She turned on the light. She was like, it's probably just something hanging. So we moved everything out the room now.
Mm.
Turn the light off. That figure still sitting. It's right there.
Mm.
Never moved, bro. That figure still sitting right there. So my mom's sitting here looking. She's literally in this corner just looking at this figure. The figure is almost at least about 5 to 6 feet tall, bro.
Mm-hmm.
About 5-6 on up. And it's taller than her at this point. So she's just looking at it. And I'm looking. I'm like, yeah. She was like, you know what? It's your guardian angel.
Mm. So she saw it?
Yeah, she saw it. And she just sat there and she just kept looking. And she just looked at it. And she just sat there and I'm looking like, yeah, so you see it. And she kept moving stuff around. We'll move the bed around. We'll move the stuff out the closet. We'll move the lights. She'll The curtains, everything. That figure still sat in that.
In that
bro, the whole time when I was young, that figure sat in that same spot, bro. Mm. And my mom said, only reason why you seen it, you understood, because you was young. So when you're young, you can see stuff that mm-hmm. brothers may not be able to see. And that figure might have been there for a reason. We don't know what that reason was. Mm-hmm. But from that point on, that's when I gained the understanding of that God's real and faith. Like, I'm always protected. Mm-hmm. That's how I know, like, I'm always protected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just being able to see that there, and just for that, for my mom seeing it, from that point on, it kind of woke up her faith as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm protected. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's good, right?
That really good.
Yeah, that.
Jelly, about to say
that
good.
I was scared for it, man. Of course. That was a scary moment, man. That's probably the most impactful part of my whole entire life growing up. Mm. And that day is it repeats itself to me because it's to me that's my reminder to let me know like it's something always there by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, even if you mess up, it might step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's still there.
Yeah, for sure.
Still there.
For sure.
And I think going back to the faith part, we sometimes forget that when we get to the suffering part, it's like God is no longer with me, or man, you ask him where he's at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you forget, he said what? I'm always there.
Yep.
I'm right.
Very present. Very present.
People really gotta understand that no matter what you do, you really gotta understand it. Cause I was talking to Troy. I might have been talking to you, and I might have been talking to somebody at that job. Mm-hmm. But it really don't matter what you do. God is not, I mean, like you just said, he may back up a little bit, but he's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. God is going to be there from murdering to whatever you done did. He's there.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's there. He's there. You got to understand. You know, a lot of people talking about, God ain't going to love me. I done did this. I did this. That's a lie.
For sure.
It's a lie. You really got to understand. He just wants you to come to him, repent. Repent. Follow me. That's it. All that mercy.
Mercy.
And we can't forgive your brother when because he ate a bag, ate a chip out your bag. Now you mad?
Right.
And that's crazy because that's kind of some of the stuff that I really harp on. You know, saying on social media is really love and it's self reflection. Mm-hmm. You have to really go back and look at like, am I living right? Am I treating people right? Mm-hmm. And not just that, it's my thought process, your daily thought process, man.
Yeah.
Your daily thought. You could just be walking, you know, around, listening to rap in your head. That's, you know, I don't want to tell you how to think, but that right. thought process, that can be a hindrance.
Yes,
because
man.
You could probably have a blessing coming down, but you in your head, you rapping about killing, murdering, mm-hmm. money, gun. You see what I'm saying? Like, and like, man, you know, I ain't got this blessing this week. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You have to change. That's why I said you got to change your thoughts.
Yes, sir. Be your renewed. Thoughts. Be renewed by the transforming. Mm-hmm. Let me tell y'all, like, this kind of going into my thought, even what you just said about you being a child and what you just said just now about renewing in your mind. What in my own spiritual walking journey, what I've realized is that comes with maturity. What I realize is God, like, because God would never leave you. He said in his word, he'll never leave you. It's, you know, so even what we call God stepping back, it's not even him. God would never move. He doesn't change. What happens is our perception of him changes.
Right.
Or our perspective changes. So is that, because remember, God, even after the, what we consider one of the biggest sins, Adam doing what he did, Adam and Eve eating apple,
right.
eating the fruit, one eating apple, fruit. Eating
yeah.
the fruit.
Yeah.
God, look what God came in the same time he always come, in the same spot he always come, in the cool of the day, he's there. He said, Adam, where you at? Who moved? Not God.
He was still there.
He was still there, knowing he still sinned. So the question wasn't a question of, where you at? Like, I can't find you. It's like, where you at? Because you moved. Mm-hmm. His Adam's position. So what happens is we end up moving away from God when we start doing wrong things.
Yeah,
and when now it's kind of hard for us. It's hard for us to even first communicate with him and see with him. Because look what Adam did. He started hiding himself. Mm-hmm. He was hiding among the bushes in the tree. Like, okay, well, I know God. I know he coming. Even after he sinned, he knew God's still going to look for me. He knew it. That's why he hid. Mm-hmm. You see? And then God had to do all this other stuff to come make up, you know, to make up for his insignificance or his insecurities. Mm-hmm. You see, now you got to cut up fig trees and all type to dress you so you can stand in my presence. Well, before you was here and you didn't have to do all that. Mm-hmm.
You see, so we end up moving further and further away from God. And I'm saying by spiritual maturity as well, because see, the closer we get with him, like things like seeing your guardian angel, I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to just keep it real with you. That experience shouldn't have stopped there. That was like the elementary version of your experience. It was a good one.
It was.
You should have kept going. Mm-hmm. It was more to see. You by now, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to put it to you like this. If it's up, it's up to you. But you can literally be asking God, show me him now. Hurt him, hurt whatever. Show me the angel now. Mm-hmm. Because you're older now. Your faith has grew. You know more. You done read Enoch. You see what I'm saying? So you got a lot more strength in you now. Because it's there are times in my life, God would show me things. Like Peter said, I believe it's Peter Paul. We look at God now through a glass or a mirror, darkly or dimly. Dimly. You see? This is about maturity. But because remember, he said it's going to come a time when we're going to see him as he is. As he is. So, but there's a time, it's maturity. It's about getting closer to him. So these things, why was Enoch able to, like the Bible says, Holy Bible, it says he walked with God and then he was not. But then you get into Enoch and you start to see what was really happening. He was talking and he was literally walking and talking with God and believing the righteousness and all this. And then God ended up taking him to see things he couldn't see before. Right. Because it's about maturity in your walk. You see, where you walk with God at one moment, you're talking to him. And the next moment, you're now seeing things that you couldn't see before. And now it's getting clearer. And now he's going to higher realms and dimensions. So I'm just saying that, like, so to increase your faith that if you saw it then, there's more to see now.
You know, I think my you know, to keep it 1,000,
mm-hmm.
I got to a point once I started reading, it's not questioning, it's like it started questioning my faith.
Mm.
Not really my faith, but what I learned is like, okay, so, you know, I'm start reading these books and you know, it started being like, all right, you know, was I taught really right?
Oh, you about to go. What time is it? We're going to the wrong path, but okay, go ahead.
We got time. We got time.
Was I taught the right stuff? Like, well, you know, am I reading the right Bible? You know, that's when I started deeping down studying. That's when, you know, when I sat with myself and I was like, oh, this is what my pastor said. He want me to read. Not in the sense of just reading this book, but reading to get to the next level and to understand the next book and to find this next book and to find it, just to find and keep reading to get my understanding and to get all the information that I needed to get. So when the day that I sat and I opened that Bible and I started at Genesis, that's when I got to all the information that I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started questioning, you know, my knowledge, and I'm like, man, is something's not making sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then it's like, all right, so who's Enoch? Who's this person? Who's that person? Mm-hmm. Then you start researching. So when I research, then it's like, oh, we missing some books out.
We missing some books on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on purpose.
And then you know, you start reading these other books. Not saying that you know these books are going to be life changing. But it's an eye opener to understand where evil came from, where why giants roamed the earth.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? That spell, how spells and stuff like that
came to be.
And people look at spells like, oh man, you know, all spells are bad. Well, you know, when you're healing and you touching it and you being able to do God's work, well, what you think you're doing?
What is that?
But you doing the same thing. You healing, you touching, you know what I'm saying? That like you got root doctors. You got bad ones, and then you have good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that make medicine, and one that can do spells. So it's the same thing when you sitting down and you're doing God's work. The same thing, spells that you're looking at that the devil can do that, or witchcraft. Well, if he can do it, and what you think the other one can do?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't, the devil can't do anything without God, because he still have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so if the devil's not even at his most powerful, and he's not even the one still in control,
mm-hmm.
because at any given time, God could always come and just wipe it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Just wipe it. The devil still got to get permission. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, if he still got to get permission, why would I want to go to him?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then I'm not at the most powerful now.
Mm-hmm. Man, you opening up something here that we might be getting to it now. We here. We here.
So why did
not listen?
Both of y'all said open up something though. You said God was actually where you at. He knew where you was at.
Mm-hmm.
But you left off.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it like this right here. Spare your mind a little bit. Neither one of y'all, Adam or Eve, probably would never got tricked by the serpent if you would have stayed in the will of God.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So when you get outside the will of God, that's when any sickness, disease, or any suffering,
that's when it
you
comes.
Left your spot. You should have stayed right here. That's so right. Now, you got to come back so you can be back, be made whole and healed so God can get that grace, that mercy. You know what I'm saying? Like Tro said, but that's all.
No, and man, that's so good. And that's what religion. See, that's what when you said what you said, man. Am I learning the right thing? Man, listen, we gonna talk about this now. We here.
Take off, man.
So religion. Look, what I'm learning about religion, you know, look, I almost to the point I oppose it to with every fiber of my being. And I don't even know if it's me. It might just be God in me. Mm. I'll be honest, because the people that killed Jesus were religious, extremely religious, to the point where the things that he taught them in the Old Testament, they couldn't even get themselves out of it, and he was there. You see, so it becomes a point where education can become a burden if you just want to put God in the frame of that education alone, because what you were taught is not all there is to know. Now, that's a statement. What you were taught is not all there is to know. And I say this, and God, this is the things that God give me as I'm growing. When you were in school, all of us in here graduated our high school diploma. Some got college, whatever. But my whole point is this. When you were in elementary school, they told you this, that one could not be divided into one, or four, you know, five can be divided into four. Because at the time, they knew you didn't have the foundational truth to understand there were smaller numbers. So they're trying to get you to a foundation first to make sure you understand basic concepts before they take you into more truth. They didn't, so you can't even say it's a lie. Is it a lie? Yeah, because the knowledge we have now, we know they lied to us. But it was almost quote unquote a good lie, because they were trying to make sure you didn't get confused in your learning first. They wanted to make sure you had building blocks so we can build upon the truth you have. Okay, this is the same thing when it come down to the Bible, when it come down to certain pastors, whoever it is. So, man, I'm trying to get riled up in this. But there are certain people that only have a certain level of education, and they can only teach you based on what they know. But what they taught you and what they know is not all there is to know. God is omniscient. You hear this stuff in all the religious circles. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent everywhere at one time.
Yeah.
You hear these things all over the place, but you can't say that in the out of your mouth on the other side, come against people that look at stars. I'm not talking about living your life off astrology and off, you know, waiting for the newspaper to come out with your daily horoscope. I never live by that. But I'm talking about the stars itself that are there.
Mm.
They found Jesus by looking at stars.
Yep.
The wise men.
The three.
No, it's not even three. They say three. But when you read the Bible, there was never three. They're only saying three because they bought them frankincense, gold, and myrrh. So they're separating the three like one bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no, it was a group of wise men. Okay. A group that bought him a lot of gold, by the way. We ain't first of all. Because people that talk religious want to make us more like, we in order for you to be more piety or more pious or more, you know, God, like you have to be poor and in poverty. It's a lie. It's so many things religion will teach you that's just so far from what God intended. And the more you read for yourself, you'll start to realize, man, that's a lie. This what they said is a lie. What they said is a lie. And this one is just a lie. But then you give them grace. Like, wait a minute. Because like you said, we're not here to argue about the word. No. God even first said this. Come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
He wants you to come sit down and talk with him.
Come
talk. And, yeah. Now, let's talk, son. This is God. This is how I feel. This is what I think about this. This is what they told me. What do you say about it? Now we're reasoning. God wants you to bring your full mind to him. Bring all the jackups, all every crazy thought you have, bring it to him and talk to him, and now y'all can reason. Why do you think like this, son? Oh, and because he got, let me tell you something. The most biggest revelations God give me, it comes in forms of questions.
Mm.
No, hear what I'm telling you. Like, I can ask him questions, but see, when God hits you with one of them, where are you, Adams?
Where are you? Yeah.
It's the question itself is an answer. The question itself, because it's showing you that I moved. I hope y'all understand what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The question itself is all, with all, my bad, I'm getting happy. The question itself is an answer all by itself. So God will start to question you, who told you that was true?
Mm.
And now you have to start backing up like, wait a minute, why do I believe this?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It makes you pull away like, okay. Because see, when I was coming up, I would ask certain questions, Ray, and they would be like, depending on who I ask,
right.
They would say, you shouldn't question God. And see, and a part of me like, okay, but I respect them. So maybe I shouldn't question God. But the thing in me, like, I didn't even know it was God in me at the time. He wouldn't let me rest on that answer. Don't question. Because he was the one making me ask the question.
Yeah.
Because he wanted me to know more.
Yeah.
This is why I kept going saying, God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You can't pray that prayer. And then when certain questions start coming to you, this is the answer to your prayer. I'm giving. Because how does he lead you to all truth? The Holy Spirit. He leads you by what? Sometimes questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes by reading. Sometimes by what you watch just now or being out in nature. He's leading you to the truth. Leading you to the truth. I hope you guys are catching this here. I'm saying this for a reason, because religion will try to keep you in this box that if it's not inside the 66 books, the Holy Bible, then if we're not supposed to go outside the 66 books. Who told you that? Because the 66 books, some of them books are mentioned, like I said earlier, other books. They're mentioning other books that are not in there. So how are you going to tell me that? And the Bible. I know I'm going to get on somebody religious nerves out there, and I don't care. I got to give the truth as it is. You can, listen here, Jesus Christ, even himself, he said, I am the word. But we still keep referring to the Bible as the word. But Jesus said, I am the beginning was the word. Mm. And the word was with God. And the word was God. That word became flesh.
Yeah.
But we keep calling the Bible the word.
Right. Yeah.
Which one is it? Is it going to be the Bible? Or is it going to be him? Because Jesus said, every time Jesus talked about the Bible or scripture, he kept referring to it as such, scripture. He said, you search the scripture and in it you think you find life, but your scriptures are pointing you to me. So he's telling you, leave the scriptures, and now that I'm here, you seek after me.
That's all.
I mean, I'm not telling you to discard the Bible. No, because in the Bible you can get confirmations from the things, from your dealings with him, while you're talking to him in meditations and prayer.
It's your guy.
It's your guy. So you can like, okay, God, this is what you meant. So now you start to read the Bible after praying, God, give me understanding, give me wisdom. Now when you go back to that same text that you might have struggled with, watch how revelation flow now, because you invited him into the moment. But it's about inviting him into the Holy Spirit, the author of the book. You don't try to, why get to know Ray? Why would, if Ray wrote a book today and Ray gave me his autobiography, which is him writing the book and passing it to me, but I still have Ray here, why would I now read his book and be like, okay, well, this is who Ray is? But I'm pretty sure Ray could not write everything about his life in this book.
That's my point.
I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna ruffle some feathers here. How could God, the infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God, be put in 66 books, and that's all it is about him?
No, it's not.
Why would you want to serve that one?
The beginning.
Man. The beginning and the end. Why would you want to serve him? If you can describe your God in 66 books, why would you want to worship him? I'm saying most stuff and people got time to think about.
Yeah.
Why would you want to serve that one?
That's right.
A book where somebody can just, he can be completely explained in 66 books.
Can't be.
What kind of God is that?
And you can't even, he tell you, you can't even fathom.
You can't.
Okay.
So how can I learn everything about him in a book?
In 66 books.
I'm just getting an introduction.
That's it.
This is just an introduction of who, what am I supposed to do? Give me commands, give me guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And just give me some type of structure.
Blueprint, right?
Yeah, give me some type of foundation. There you go. Give me something to go off of. But from that point on, that's the whole purpose of you getting a relationship, gaining that relationship, getting that connection. Like you said, once you sit among them, I'm pretty sure Jesus could have read the Bible all day long.
That's a good point.
He could have read the Bible all day long.
That's a good point.
But what did he go do? He went to the mountains. Why did he go up there? Get close.
Talking about that.
That's a personal. We went from a book to now we are personal.
Yes.
What's better, me reading your book or me getting this personal connection with you one on one?
Personal connection. Like you say, glory on top of glory. We supposed to build glory
on top of glory.
So yeah.
And why would God ever want you to be poor?
Why?
That's why I never.
What kind of life is that?
Why would he want?
I never understood.
Why would he ever want you? How can the devil provide you riches?
Oh my God!
But the one that you pray to gonna say you got to be poor first, and it just to become rich. So I got to be poor to become rich.
You become
poor because your mindset. Mm-hmm. We were never poor. Africa's not poor.
Mm-hmm.
They show the poor parts.
Yeah,
they right because indoctrination.
Right.
This is the indoctrination.
They don't want us to be in power.
Where your gold come from?
Exactly. Out of the ground.
Diamonds.
Diamonds, ore, oil, all that. Resources.
But that's where it comes from, and not just to get off religion. That's where it comes from just being black men. We do not understand our power.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
We don't understand.
It was script from us, but you know where it's script from. I ain't racist. You know what I'm saying? Where did it come from? It come from slavery, man. I'm trying to tell you right now.
But at some point in time, you gotta wake up.
Come on.
That's why I love that movie, y'all. Go watch the Nat Turner movie, The Rebellion of a Slave.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When they was raping his wife and all that stuff. The crazy part, he was a preacher. He was only reading the things the white man told him to read. But when he really got dug into that word,
when you read,
we supposed
stuff.
To be kings or queens. We supposed to be rich. And then he start fighting back. No, this is not how God wants us to live.
That's right.
So once again, he had to empower himself. What it go back to, he got in that word.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He got in that word. So, yeah, man, I ain't racist now, y'all. Let y'all know to the viewers. Sure. I tell you, I'm saying, listeners, I ain't racist. But that's where they come from with black people. Matter of fact, this is a little bit off topic, but it ain't. Since we talking about this, Putin. He just, it's all over Twitter. He just released an ancient box. And when he opened it up, it's a picture of everybody praying to a black Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew Jesus.
They were talking about
color. I didn't know that.
That's who they say, that's who your Pope pray to.
Right. And
the Pope prays to a black Jesus.
You know, Russia and America ain't getting along right now.
No, for sure.
So Putin, he made a threat. He's about to expose the truth. He said, because if they know who they really was. So now he said, y'all praying to this image. But this is
there's another image.
Really was what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Catholic Pope, man, I used to watch the Geography Channel. And they got the Vatican.
You watch what?
Geography? No, it's Geography.
Geography Channel?
Huh?
Channel?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
The Vatican, they got it's a wall, like 10 miles long, they said.
Mm.
No, but full of gold and of our black history, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But they don't want to release it.
Of course
they
not.
They release it. They going to know who he is. That's why you see the Hebrew Israelites. They be out there protesting and saying, we the real Jews and all the other good stuff. But you know, that's another subject.
That's another thing. We can talk about it too.
But once again, they trying to empower you. But you're like, man, I don't want to hear that.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. But you know what I'm saying? But if you knew who you was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my grandmother used to say, history is very important. Because if you don't know where you came from, how you know where you're going?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And one of my biggest take out of it, also weird that, you know, just found out, is like, we get caught up on names. And we get caught up on titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, ego and pride is dangerous.
Yes, sir.
It's dangerous.
Right.
Mm.
And that's what everybody want to be, the big homie. Everybody want to be, Bishop, you know, property. Saying a boss.
Yep.
Everybody want that title. Once you start loving the title and you forget about who you really loving. That's when you start. Yeah, that's when you start going downhill.
Yep.
And you know, just get on back. Our problem is we still walking the same walk that we walked thousands of years ago, even before slavery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We still walking from the pharaohs.
Yeah.
From all the wrong that we've from praying to cows, from all the stuff that the Bible
trees,
have taught,
stars,
you know what I'm saying?
Taught
us
sun god,
and we still doing it,
mm-hmm.
and we're not, and we're going further down in history, and down in economic field. It's like, when are we going to get to a point where we understand like this is not working?
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy caught up into religion that we're forgetting who God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're caught up in religion. It's like, I don't care about if you're Muslim. I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't care if you're a Catholic or you're a Buddhist.
Do you know God?
Do you know God? Mm-hmm. What's your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, believing and knowing, two different things.
For sure.
And with all your religions, what can you teach me?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you come to God, you're supposed to come with a what? An open heart and an open mind. So if I'm supposed to be open-minded and open-hearted at all times, and if my brothers come to me just because you believe in this religion, and you say, hey brother, have you tried this? Nah, I'm a Catholic. Bro, you don't understand. Sometimes you cut your blessings by a title.
Your
so
growth.
That title, yeah, that title cut is holding you back.
Yes, it is.
You're not evolved
from the
like
wholeness of who
yeah.
God is.
Yeah,
you're not evolved.
Yeah, you still the ape right now.
Yeah,
okay. You're still the ape right now.
No evolution. No evolution.
Yeah. So my biggest thing is with religion, you know. It is everybody wants to have a title. Everybody want to be a 5%er. Everybody wants to be, or not say everybody, people want to be a 5%er. People want to be a Catholic. People want to be a Christian. And it's like, yeah, all that sounds good. But the whole moral of this is, what are we aiming for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
What are you aiming for? You're not aiming to say, I can read the Bible back and forth. Right. Well, congratulations.
Right. Kudos.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank I mean, I can read a Harry Potter book.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You read it back and forth, but look at your lifestyle.
But you're still doing the same thing.
What good is it to do to you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're still showing signs. You can read it, but you're still showing signs that you don't know it.
Yes. Ooh, wee.
You can quote me every scripture.
Ooh, wee.
But you still walk this planet acting like you don't know God.
No understand.
Because if you really that intelligent and you can read that well, then how do you not have the understand that this is what God said?
Yes, yes, yes.
This is what he wants.
Yes, yes, yes.
This
yes.
is where he's directing you.
Yes. You're not just going to shoot through the Bible, not cut your wisdom, because there's going to be some things. You're going to say, man, what
you're going to read that 2 or 3 times.
How you shot this thing so fast, man? Yeah. You mean tell me you understood everything?
Okay. No, he was reading just to read, just to say, to get that entitlement.
Yeah,
I read it. That's all it was about.
But even still now, you know, one of me and my brothers, he was like, man, y'all read this Bible 47 times. And I said, yeah, it's going to be another 47 I'm going to read it.
I know, that's right.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because as you're growing and as you're maturing, guess what? You might read this message again. Mm-hmm. And that might be just one word in there that you might be like, dang, I ain't even think about that.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. New revelation.
I can keep reading.
Yep.
But as he keeps saying, I'm going to keep doing what? I'm going to keep revealing.
That's it.
So if he's going to keep revealing, no matter how many times you read, is like I said, is you sitting down at the end of the day, is having that personal connection.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's it.
And Ray, that's why I said the most important thing before anybody, if you I don't want to say Christian, if you're going to be a servant of God, let me say it like that. The most important thing is make sure you invite him into that moment so you can, because he's the author of the book. If you want to know more about the book, invite the author into that moment. Because atheists they're killing them in debates. They read the Bible and they know it verbatim. They can tell you, well, this is Greek for this and this is Hebrew for this. Well, you know, in the time it was like 1500 BC and these are the things. They know the history of it and all.
Because they're doing their whole work.
Right. And the thing they're missing is the God that was there that will reveal that text to you, because the Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Mm. So the atheists will never get the spirit because they reject the God that's behind that text.
Right.
You see?
Right.
So when we read, this makes a difference. But even besides all that, even my boy Paul said this, and I love this. Paul said, I didn't come with you with eloquent speech and words of man's wisdom, but I come in the demonstration of power. Mm. At the end of the day, Christianity is not to be talked about. Christianity is supposed to be demonstrated.
Demonstration.
And I'm not just talking about in love, because love is a key factor who God is. All the gifts flow from love. I love you so I will heal you. I love you so I can prophesy. I love you so all these things is coming from love. That's the root of it all. So it's not, I don't want to just see what you got going on so I can tell you, man, you nasty, you a sinner. That's childish. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're abusing the spirit realm.
But it's
nevertheless,
not from a place of love.
It's not, that's what I'm saying. It's abusing. You're abusing the whole thing. And that's what Satan start doing. Mm-hmm. You're gifted, but abusing his gift. Nevertheless, you're supposed to demonstrate. Let me tell you something. Let a Muslim sit there, and it's not about titles. It's not.
Exactly.
But let a Muslim sit there and whoever. But at the end of the day, show me power. That what Paul said, show me power. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about from there. But when it come down to it, let's see if your words going to heal him. Let's see if by the time, like Elijah in the Bible, I love this story. Elijah was the type of person, the prophet, that believed in God so much. He said, look here, you got 900 prophets of Baal and like 700 other soul prophets or whoever. We're going to have a showdown on a mountain. Mm. On a mountain. Let's see whose God answered by fire. You go first. You put your calf there, put your wood there, put your water there. Do everything you got to do, and I'm going to let you go first. We're going to sit here all day. And at the end of the day, whoever God's answer, that's whose God this nation is going to serve. Mm. And whoever else is going to die. Point blank, period. By the end of it all, Elijah, I love him because he had arrogance and attitude to a degree. Not disrespecting Elijah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, Elijah said, look here, they was out there praying, Bray. They was out there praying. You read the story already? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The prophets out there praying and cutting themselves. And Elijah laughing said, hey, maybe your God on vacation. You know what I'm saying? Tell him, give him a little bit. He's just being funny because give him time. Maybe he'll come back in 5 minutes. Maybe take it a nap or something. You know, just you pray a little louder. Maybe he
pray
can't
a little
hear
harder,
you.
Yeah.
You know? So after all is said and done, Elijah, they got this stuff out the way. Elijah went and prayed one time. Father, if you're the God of Israel, show them that you sent me. Whatever, and everything it said. Fire came down immediately. It didn't take 2 years, 2 minutes, 10 hours, two weeks. No, power was the demonstrator at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity should not just be discussed in like theory or like it's just, you know, something or history report we read. No, Christianity, if it's real, it brings power. And I'm going to say, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Jesus said this, I came that they might. You're talking about one word. I came that they might have life and have life and they might have life. More that's two mights. Not one. He said, I came. The reason I'm coming so you can have life and you can have it abundantly, but it's a might. Because I'm coming, but you might not get it.
Yes, sir.
And though you might taste life, but will you have life abundantly? It's so much to get into here.
It's two mights.
It's two mights. Because you might believe, so you believe in me, so you got life. But would that life transform into an abundant life? The life where you can see spirit into the spirit. The life where these resources are given to you. The life where you can walk on water too. The life where elements obey you. But anyway, I know that's not, you know, that's for another topic and for another day. But
you
that's
know,
real Christianity.
I was reading one day. I was in my Frito-Lay truck. I was just reading, right? So, and I heard God say, you know, if we all could come and just sit down and sit down with an open mind, whatever religion you are, whatever, whoever God you pray to, if you sat down and everybody sat down and like I said, and took the debate out of his word and just sat down and just, how we're doing. You talk because whenever God talk, how do he talk?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How do he come to you?
Yeah, just, yeah. Still small voice. Just,
it's sweet.
Yep.
It's sweet. So, you know, and he said, you know, if everybody can just sit at the table and everybody can have just a word. He didn't say words, just have a word. Then we can get past this point of which religion do what. Because you can still keep whatever title or whatever religion you want to gain. It's just like me calling myself African, you calling yourself a Caucasian, or you calling yourself an Ethiopian. Yeah. Whatever name you want to give yourself, that's fine. I'm a Jones. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else might be, you know what I'm saying, a Felder or a Porter. Or that's a name. Yeah. That's a name. That's just what you gave yourself. But you're still representing the same what? You're still representing them. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It what should be is how many souls am I getting out of hell? How many lives am I saving? Not how smart I am, not how right I am, not how powerful I can make myself or how much power I, you know, like you said, your power comes from how many lives are you touching?
Boy, talk heavy.
Yeah.
To a degree, how many people are you saving? How many people are you bringing out of depression? How many people are you healing? How many kids are you getting to before the devil could get to them? We talk about all the stuff that's not going right, but not one time do we go and we sit amongst these inner cities. No, not one time do any of these so-called Christians and Catholics and if you really want to show your power, then you go out there and you save a life. Then you can sit and you can talk. Then I will sit and I will listen to you. But I can't listen to you. The only thing you can give me is a word. Because your word is flaw at this point. Because you have not done anything with your word. You have not put no work in.
It's 105 back. Y'all, we got to wrap up. We do. You got to say, you got a question for later?
Off air.
I got a question for you off air too, man. Man, you got out there in podcast land, Raw Truth, Life Conversation, man. I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation. You know, listen, how the way this conversation going about the little spirituality part 3?
Yes, because
there's so much more we got to delve into and dig into,
Pastor
man.
Ray.
Yeah, man, right. We got Pastor P, Pastor Ray in the block. You know what I'm saying? Got Stevie, your boy Troy, man, you know. Yeah.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me on, man. Yeah. I love talking, man. Yeah. I just like the each one teach one, man.
Yeah,
I go
sure.
by that so much.
Fellowshipping,
man. I really believe that.
Good. Hey, we'll catch y'all boys. We catch y'all next time. Like, comment, subscribe. Tell us what y'all like. Tell us what you dislike. Hey, we for it all. You know, just leave some comments. It don't even matter to us. We'll catch y'all boys soon, all right? Love y'all. Peace.
Peace.